thank you so much for joining me tonight on the 16-Bit Catholic. I am Dustin Faber. Had like a great day here today, except for the fact that I'm out of black jelly beans. That's the only bad thing that's happening today, I guess you can't complain too much. Fire me off an email at dustinfaber@gmail.com if you love them as much as I do. We've got a good show today. I'm going to play a phone conversation that I had with Kathy Schiffer about Mother's Day. And hopefully maybe we'll give you some ideas for Mother's Day gifts and give you about a week or so to run out and get them in case you are putting it off or you're like me and you have absolutely no idea what to get for those wonderful women in your life.
On tonight's podcast, we are joined by Kathy Schiffer. That if you visit kathyschiffer.com, she does a lot of great blogging there. Kathy has worked for 6 years at Guest House, the Treatment Center for Catholic Clergy and Religious, where she currently serves as Communication Media Relations Coordinator. During her tenure at Guest House, she edited a 50th anniversary commemorative book, None Too Early, None Too Late, 50 Years of Recovery and Renewal at Guest House. She has organized major fundraising events, including the annual Detroit Bishop's Dinner, the Bishop's Reception, Chicago Cardinals Dinner, and the Guest House Golf Classic. She also planned and implemented a 50th anniversary reception at the Vatican Embassy in Washington, D.C., hosted by Archbishop Pietro Sambi, Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, and also blogged live from Pope John Paul II's beatification last year. Kathy, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Happy Mother's Day to
thank
you.
You.
You've got three grown children, so you've had your great share of Mother's Days.
I have had a wonderful share of Mother's Days, and my kids are all grown and out of the house, and so nobody has wished me Happy Mother's Day yet until you did. I expect to hear from them soon.
I'm sorry that I beat them to the punch. No breakfast in bed this year, it doesn't sound like.
That's right.
Well, what was do you just have any favorite Mother's Day memories that just kind of stick out?
You know, I suppose the first one, and I bet you there are a lot of moms that would say that. My daughter was born in October. And the following May, Mother's Day came around, and just the being a mother for the first time and her joy because we were together, and it was great. And in the meantime, there have been many wonderful memories. I suppose the simple ones are the best. You know, the hug and a hand-picked flower, even if it was from my garden. That's the kind of stuff that moms really love.
My wife and I, we just had our daughter Lucy Amelia Faber about 2.5 months ago. So this is the very first Mother's Day for her. And what would you say to those new mothers celebrating Mother's Day for the first time?
Well, let me say, happy Mother's Day and just treasure these days because it goes so quickly. I look at young mothers now, and so many of them are working and out of the house. I talked to one mother who said, I'm so happy now that my son is born. I spend 20 minutes with him every day. And I still feel very sorry for her. Those minutes go so fast. And just the joy, if I could take back, you know, I've done a lot of different things in my life, but if I could take back a day, it would be a day with those little kids.
That sounds it sounds like something to cherish. I know that every poopy diaper that my daughter has get in there, and I change it because I don't want, you know, when my daughter's a teenager and she wants absolutely nothing to do with that, I don't want to look back at any of those dirty diapers and think, you know, wow, you didn't appreciate that as much as you could have. So
that's right.
The dirtier, the messier the diaper, I love it. That said, if it's somebody else's kid, no way am I changing somebody else's kid. One article, you actually have two articles up on your website, kathyschiffer.com, that really sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. You have two articles at your website, kathyschiffer.com, that are really relevant, you know, when it comes to Mother's Day coming up. One of my favorite articles that you wrote, actually, you wrote about three great mothers, Mary, Hannah, and Elizabeth, all wonderful women, all unique women. You know, each of their motherhoods was something completely different than the other three. When you were writing the article about Mary and about Hannah and about Elizabeth, was there anything new that you learned from those three women spiritually that inspired you?
Well, the thing that inspired me about them, first of all, I wrote about them because they all came up in the daily liturgy the day that I did that post. And I recognized that and went back to see. I didn't know so much about Hannah. You know, of course, you know about Samuel a little bit, but Hannah was his mother. And I didn't really understand much about her life, and I appreciated that. And she had wanted a child and prayed to the Lord for a son. And when God granted that wish, then she dedicated him to the Lord. And God heard her prayer. She gave birth to Samuel. She loved him and cared for him, but she remembered her promise. And when Samuel was old enough, she took him to the prophet Eli at the temple. Each of the mothers that I wrote about in that article was so humble. And yet, in her humility, she raised up a child for God who was so important and who changed the world. So that was my key, I think, the simplicity of their lives. And yet, a great good that came from the children that they bore, that they raised.
I don't know if I could have done what Hannah did. I mean, she made that promise. She finally gets her son. And most parents, you know, they have, you know, about 19 years to spend with their children, you know, some maybe 30 or 40 years before they leave the house. But she had to give him up when he was, I believe, a young child, maybe 3 or 4 years old. She had to leave him at the temple. And I don't know if I would have the strength if I had made that promise to God to leave Lucy at a convent or at a church or somewhere and only see her once a year. I mean, that's, of all the mothers in the Bible, it seems like she had the toughest go at it because she had to give up her child so early on.
That's right. That's right. With so little chance to appreciate him. And in a way, the same is true. Well, there's a corollary in the case of Elizabeth, who I also wrote about, the mother of John the Baptist, because she had waited so long and had never been granted the privilege of being a mother. She was really past the childbearing age when God saw fit to let her conceive John. You remember that story that Zechariah said his name is John, and that's when he regained his ability to speak. But Elizabeth also is, I'm not sure if I told the story when I wrote that. Remember the story about Mary going to visit Elizabeth when Mary was a child, and so was Elizabeth, and John left in her womb. And that is such a pro-life story because here you have an unborn child who recognizes his cousin Jesus for the first time, recognizes him as God, and because of that, Elizabeth also recognizes him. And it speaks to the humanity of the unborn.
It really does, and it was one of my favorite stories when I was a kid, hearing about John the Baptist, because I did have a lot of cousins, and I always thought, oh, that would have, you know, that's cool. You know, I wish I had Jesus as a cousin instead of
something. That's quite a play date, isn't it?
Two women that I thought of when I was reading your article, and I'm not calling you out saying, oh, you forgot them. How could you do such a thing? But one woman that really came to mind was Bathsheba. We don't really hear a lot about her motherhood in the Bible, but, I mean, at some point she changed the poopy diapers of the wisest man in the world. And what really jumps out to me is that the circumstances where she met David, very less than ideal, pretty much having an affair on her husband, but God made something good out of that.
Their first
child died, they end up with Solomon. And the one thing that really strikes me about Bathsheba is just how strong she was, even toward the end of her life. In 1 Kings, when Adonijah tries to overtake the throne, you know, and Bathsheba, she doesn't sit back and think, you know, oh, I'm a frail woman. I'm just, you know, not going to say anything. I'm just going to shut my trap and stay out of this. I mean, she goes to King David. I mean, she fights for her son Solomon to get the throne, and I think that's really the great mark of any mother, is someone who will stand by their son no matter what the circumstances are.
That's right. That's right. And I think Scott Hahn looks to that model of the Queen Mother and Mary as Queen Mother as Jesus' mother. There's an interesting parallel to that, to her representing herself before her son when at the wedding feast of Cana, when Mary goes to Jesus and really draws him into public ministry for the first time, because she says they have no wine. And she asks something of him. She has complete faith in him. She has lived her life in the background, raising him and loving him. But in that situation, she calls for him to act. And from that comes his first miracle. So, yes, that Queen Mother in the background is very important.
And the other mother that I thought of, and I'm sure you've probably thought of her too, was Sarah, the mother of Isaac. God tells her, hey, I'm going to do this really great thing in your life. And she goofs on God pretty much. She laughs and says, oh, this is ridiculous. And I probably would have thought the same thing too, if God came down and said, hey, you're going to have Lucy a month after you get married to Alicia. I'm thinking, oh God, I've got money I want to save, I've got credit cards I want to pay off. This is silly. This is ridiculous. You giving me a child. I think a lot of us can identify with Sarah in that God gives us circumstances in our life, and sometimes mm-hmm. we maybe don't trust Him so much. We kind of scoff at His plans, thinking that we're somehow smarter than Him.
Sure, sure.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, so many of us do. So many people in American society do take that matter into their own hands, and so they practice contraception. Unfortunately, sometimes they abort. They choose when they're going to have a child. And the flip side of that is the insistence that they have a child right then, and so people will pursue IVF, for example.
And that you kind of see that with Sarah a little bit when she was upset that she didn't have a child. She gives Abraham her handmaiden, and that's how, he has Ishmael, before she does.
I've never thought of that, but you're so right.
Yes, she doesn't wait for God, and I think I think we can learn a lot from that. Just because you've made a mistake once, going back to Bathsheba, just because you've made a mistake once in your life, whether it's an abortion or IVF, contraception, things like that, that doesn't have to be your life story. That's not going to handcuff you for the rest of your life. You can move past that, and you can be a great mother like Sarah was to Isaac, like Bathsheba was to Solomon. If he's the wisest man in the world, surely he had a great mother probably helping him out there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so.
And speaking of great mothers helping their sons out, the other article that you have, and this is just one of my absolute favorite stories in all of the world, is St. Monica praying for her son,
St. Augustine for 30 years.
30 years. I sometimes give up praying for things after 3 or 4 years. How do you have the fortitude? How do you have the perseverance to pray for something for 30 years? I think even a lot of us are probably going, oh, this guy's not gonna change after, a few months of praying for somebody. But
mm-hmm.
30 years, wow. What goes through your mind as a mother when you read about, a mother like her praying for her son's conversion for 3 years?
Well, I have mixed feelings. Certainly she's very brave and very faith-filled. If she gets discouraged, we don't see that. But then I think of, I have been blessed. My own children have followed on a straight path, and I am not concerned about them. But if they hadn't, I would still be loving them, and therefore I would still be praying for them. And so I guess it's just what mothers do. She is a good example. I know at one place I worked, they had a St. Monica Society that gathered in prayer on a regular basis for their children and had mass once a week for wayward children. And I think there's a great virtue to that. But it also is something that a good mother does.
And I think, you know, I'm not saying that I was a wayward man for 30 years, but, I mean, there was a few years when I didn't go to church, so I could imagine my mother feeling a little bit, you know, like St. Monica or whatever. Every week she would call, you know, did you go to church this Sunday? No, Mom, because, you know, I went to church, but God forbid I lie to my mom. And I can just see her probably identifying with St. Monica just a little bit. And I think a lot of people can identify with St. Monica, even people who aren't mothers. I think that, you know, people praying for their spouses, you know, their siblings, you know, their best friends, we can all learn a lot from just her prayer life in general, just being that persistent.
That's right. And, you know, there are so many young people in society today who are hooking up or cohabitating or getting into relationships that the parents would not approve of. And so did Augustine. You know, Augustine had lived with a woman and who bore his child. And in that period of reckless abandon to his passions, Monica was the steady force in the background that was always there praying for him. And eventually she lived to see him come back.
And I believe it was also St. Augustine that said, you know, Lord, make me chaste, but just not yet.
Yes.
you know, I have a whole bunch of years in college where I think I can identify with St. Augustine on the negative
that's
side
right.
of things instead.
That's right.
That's a different podcast for a much, much different day there. Kathy, what are you working on right now? What's next for you professionally?
Well, I am, since I wrote the two articles that we've been talking about today, my blog has actually moved over to Pathios. I'm one of the Pathios writers on the Catholic portal, writing for Elizabeth Scalia. And, so people can find me over there. You can also link from the old, my blog site is pathios.com/blogs/Kathy Schiffer. Nobody's going to remember that. And if you're driving down the road with a pencil in your hand, don't write that down. The old site you can get to using seasonsofgrace.net, and from there can link over to the new site. And that's what I suggest people do. If you think I'm the most interesting person in the world and you really have to read what I've written, I've got a lot there.
Oh, well, I think an easier link that somebody might be able to remember, twitter.com/Kathy Schiffer, and I have followed you for a while. And
oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I've always enjoyed reading the things that you say. And one last thing, I am at my wit's end. Mother's Day is in 8 days. I have absolutely no idea what to get for my wife. I can't mess this up. This is the first Mother's Day that she's ever.
And she needs something really sentimental.
Something one of my friends suggested, a gift certificate to manicure, pedicure place, and she does mention, you know, this place. I'm not going to give them free publicity, but she does mention this place off and on, so I'm thinking, is she hinting at that? Maybe that would be good, but.
That might be a hint.
Just a plastic card. I don't know if that really says the right thing. That's just almost like something I should just get, you know.
Jewelry. There's jewelry that says the right thing. Or, you know what? I don't know what her particular interests are. I garden. And for me, you know, a plant that's going to go in my yard, a tree that's planted on the first Mother's Day that's going to continue to grow and bear beautiful flowers year after year. A lilac bush, it'll bloom in the spring. Something like that. That would be my choice.
So I know she loves to craft, but, you know, with the baby being here, she
probably doesn't do so much of that right now.
Yeah, so I get her something crafting, and I could see her thinking, like, oh, this is great.
Great, like he thinks I've got time for that.
I did get her something nice for her anniversary, but just in case she listens to this, I'm not going to say what it is. But I will send you a message on Twitter and let you know what it is, because it's
very good. I look forward to receiving that. You know,
Kathy,
what the best gift my husband has given me has been? He gave me the gift of fire 1 year.
Fire.
And
explain this for me.
Well, we had a fireplace. We had moved into a home, and the fireplace didn't work. We didn't have the damper, I guess it is, and And so we lived here for more than a year and never used the fireplace. And unbeknownst to me, he had people come and replace it. They had to replace part of the top of the chimney. And they put in a new flue and a whole bunch of stuff. And he got me the grate, everything that you needed to have a fire in your fireplace. And he didn't tell me. And it had snowed, in fact, and he had the workmen who were on our roof cover it up with more snow so I wouldn't see their footprints. And on Christmas, we had our first fire. It was great. It was such a creative gift.
I'm glad you elaborated on that story, because I had this mental image of him in, like, a caveman outfit with a club and me make fire for you. So I thank you for elaborating on that. So, didn't think that y'all were stuck in the Stone Age, but I'm gonna come up with something good. I'm gonna come up with something clever though. But I love the fireplace story. If I had a fireplace, I would totally do
that. That would be it, huh?
Like that.
Yeah, she'd like some creativity. You can do it.
I think my daughter is stirring, so I think we're gonna have to say goodbye for now. But Kathy, thank you so much for joining me on the 16-bit Catholic this evening, and again, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day to your wife.
Thanks again to Kathy Schiffer for being on the podcast. And next week we will have Anthony Buono from AveMariaSingles.com. No, I'm not looking for a new dating partner. I need some marriage advice. And Anthony Buono, he's got about 6 or 7 kids. I think he can give Alicia and I some good wedding advice. So we'll have him on the show next week. My wife should be on the show with me next week unless our daughter throws a fit and she is called away from the microphone. So that ought to be fun. I'm really looking forward to getting some good wedding advice, some good marriage advice, and just hearing some fun stories from Anthony about the marriage that he and his wife have had for all these years. That's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.